You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
You're listening to the award-winning podcast, The Ambitious Entrepreneur Show, featuring business experts, industry disruptors, game changers, and thought leaders to help you navigate a constantly changing marketplace. Want to build a successful business and become known as an influential voice in your industry? The Ambitious Entrepreneur Show will show you how. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Ambitious Entrepreneur Show. This is episode 219, and yes, I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. Now, are you considering building products? Because according to my guest, for every idea you want to test, you need to ask yourself, how can I make this small? Joining me on today's show is Joe Cottolese. Joe's first professional job involved playing video games all day. I think that is every, you know, young boy's dream to do that. Now, after early signs of brain rot, he decided to teach himself how to write software. His entire career is characterized by this why not attitude. I like that kind of attitude. Why not? And Joe's currently the founder of Sherry, a social media marketing tool that adds ROI to curated content. Now, on today's show, what Joe is going to share is how to find your value proposition quickly by going through a couple of simple exercises that he's going to share with us today. He's also going to share more about two tools that'll help you quickly assess your business model before you begin building your products, because I'm sure that can be quite expensive, only to realize that it's not going to pan out, as well as learning how we can apply lean principles to our business. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thanks. It's great to be here, Anne-Marie.
Your first job involved playing video games all day. I mean, amazing. How long did you do that for?
It's a great story. And I think it kind of fits in with, you know, what you said about my can do or why not attitude.
Yes. So I was
you know, very early in my career, I was working like part-time while I was going to school at Circuit City, which is an electronics store in the area. Mm-hmm. And I saw an ad in the newspaper, of all things, for a job posting for a customer service position at this company called Insonic that I knew about. It was a local technology company that made synthesizers. Long story short, I went on the interview and I didn't get the job. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I felt really bad. I'm like, I should have got that job. I was 21 at the time. So I called the person that interviewed me up and I said, hey, you know, I really want to learn from the team and what I need to do to, you know, be better so that the next time I interview for a job like this, I get it. You know, what if I came in and worked for nothing? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the guy was kind of taken aback by it. And he said, well, let me call you back. So he called me back and he said, well, how about this? He's like, do you like video games? I was like, of course I like video games. I'm, you know, 21-year-old guy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, you know, what if we have you come in and play test video games for us? And, you know, we can't have you, you know, work for free. So how about we, you know, we pay you, I don't know, I forget what it was, $15 an hour or something like that. So yes. It was like, yeah, win-win. But it sounds way more glamorous than it was. So mm-hmm. The company was making these, I'm dating myself a little bit, but this was back in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. When you bought a computer, it typically didn't have sound in it. So you had to buy this like add-on card that you plugged into the computer. So we were making this product that was compatible with all the different games that were on the market. And, you know, I had to like play through the game to make sure the sound worked right. And then when it didn't, I had to like write down exactly what I did to get to that point in the game and then recreate it for the engineer. So it sounds super glamorous, like I'm playing video games all day, but it was pretty challenging. But I got really good.
Yeah, amazing. And, you know, through that, of course, you recognize, was it over a period of time that you were networking and obviously spending time in that business that you recognized that you had a passion or a skill to be able to, you know, kind of develop software then? What was the transition from playing games to then writing software?
It was, you know, my father and mother, you know, basically kickstarted my love of computers. They bought me a Commodore VIC-20 computer back in 1981. Mm. And I was in fourth grade, I think. I was 10 or 11 when I got this computer. And I was always kind of tooling around with it, but didn't really know that could be a potential career path for me. And I was surrounded by all these amazing people. Actually, the founders of Ensoniq were the people that created the Commodore VIC-20 computer. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, for me, it would be like going to work at, you know, for somebody that's an Apple fan, going to work at Apple and working with Steve Jobs. And I was surrounded by this amazingly talented group of engineers. And, you know, they basically gave me my shot. I said, I want to do this. And I would say it was probably within 6 months of being there, maybe not even that long, that I began transitioning. They started giving me mm-hmm. software projects to pick up, and I just basically ran with it.
Mm, fantastic. Because often opportunities are there right in front of us. We need to take advantage of those, and you certainly have. And thank goodness, and now you're here today sharing more. Talk a little bit about finding our value proposition quickly. This can be really difficult for many people, men and women. You've got a couple of exercises that you obviously have run through and obviously use on a regular basis. Share more about these exercises.
Yeah. So when you're building a product, so one of my mentors at a startup, I was still doing engineering. I was actually in engineering management. You know, we were working on this product, and, you know, I wanted to make all of these changes to the product, and we were venture backed, but we weren't revenue positive. And, you know, he said, you could, you know, basically I wanted to like gut all of the code and like rewrite, you know, have the team rewrite pieces of it. And he's like, you know, you could spend all the time you want, you know, building the perfectly engineered solution, but until you get it out in front of your customers, you don't know what you have. And you could get to, you know, you could spend all this time doing it, and we could spend all this money building it and get to a point where we've run out of money before we've really had a chance to validate, mm-hmm. you know, the idea. And I mean, this was, you know, going back 10 years, you know, you didn't really hear the concept of like lean software development and you know, the lean startup movement didn't exist yet, but that was a lesson that I really took to heart. So I had this, I always kind of had this philosophy of like, you know, sprinting to 1.0 and trying to get as quickly as possible something in front of your customers so that you could begin identifying, you know, whether or not you had a good product market fit. Mm. So, you know, over the course of, you know, a number of years, like, you know, the lean startup movement became popular, and that's a great book. If you haven't recommended it to your audience, you should definitely throw it in the show notes. So the idea is, you know, basically to figure out how to get to start with the sort of the core of the idea. And you've probably heard people talk about the minimum viable product, the mm-hmm. MVP concept. Yes. And I think that actually often gets misunderstood. A lot of, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about the MVP as this, you know, let's get something out quick and then we'll go do something else. Mm-hmm. But it's really a little more nuanced than that. So the concept of the MVP is, you know, figure out how to take the essence of the thing you want to build and come up with a way to test it. So I don't, you know, have you ever been in a situation where it's like you have this giant idea and you're not sure where you want to take it? Yes. So, you know, how have you like gone through the process of like whittling it down to like the core thing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I absolutely have. And I've had some products that have just, you know, and I've thought this is going to be the next best thing, and it was the next best flop. So yeah, certainly been, and it has really been trial and error a lot of times. So yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it is often trial and error. And, you know, I tell people, so, you know, I moved from engineering into product management. And I often tell people that product management is about mitigating risk, you know, because a lot of times you're taking a stab in the dark about the thing that you're building. You don't know what people want.
Yes.
So you have to mitigate risk. So how do you do that? So you start with this, you know, you take an idea and you know, kind of boil it down to what's called a verifiable hypothesis, mm-hmm. you know, come up with some hypothesis, you know, and then figure out what the criteria is that you can use to measure whether or not that, you know, that thing was, you know, you've proven that hypothesis. And that really is the concept of the MVP, you know, figure out what the essence is that you want to, a thing you want to test. So, for example, you were saying you've built a lot of products and you've some of them have flopped. Well, you know, one thing that you can do is, you know, think about, ask yourself, is this the smallest thing that I can build? So if you're thinking about doing a course, mm-hmm. right, you could develop the whole course and you could spend weeks and weeks and weeks doing it. But then at the end, you're not sure if your customers wanted it.
Yes.
So, you know, here's something that you could try. You could just put up a landing page advertising the course with an email signup form mm-hmm. and just see if people are interested. Because the thing that's cool about that is, you know, you can, you know, I'm sure you've kind of sat in front of the blank page and tried to figure out how to position your offering, right? That's, you know, that's a hard problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you start with, you know, just a landing page, then you can kind of dial into, you know, the right way to phrase your offering and see if people are even interested. Mm. And then from there, once you've run that test, you've verified, okay, people have some amount of interest in this. What's the next smallest thing that I can test?
Yes.
And maybe keeping with the course analogy, maybe it's doing the first unit of your course mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense because, I mean, in some instances, to develop a product, particularly if it's a product that needs to be manufactured, maybe not necessarily, if it's a service-based product that you're packaging into a program that you can sell a course, there's time, energy invested in that, isn't it? And so if you launch it, like I've done with various programs, and what I thought was valuable, not necessarily, so I can see how valuable that would be. Around the value proposition with those couple of exercises, are there any other things that we can consider to really help us along that process? Or should we dive into the two tools for quickly assessing the business model before we even begin to build those products?
Well, so I think they basically tie into each other. A product isn't just the thing that you're selling, right? The artifact, the course, mm-hmm. right? It's the intersection of the thing you're selling and the market, right? The product market fit.
Yeah.
That's the essence of product development. It's not just, I have this idea, let me build this thing. Because, you know, until you figure out who your customers are, mm-hmm. how you're going to make money, you know, how you're going to distribute your product, everything around the thing you're building is your product. Mm. And part of that is figuring out your value proposition, but part of the rest of it is just as important as well. So mm-hmm. A few years ago, I read this book called called Running Lean, mm. which is a book that basically gives you a roadmap for implementing some of the lean startup principles. Mm-hmm. And you know, the author developed this concept called the Lean Canvas. And I dug a little deeper and it turned out that the Lean Canvas was really based on this bigger idea called a business model canvas. And I was like, oh, this sounds really interesting. So when it came time for me to launch Sherry, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was really thinking about and being methodical about how this thing was going to generate revenue, how I was going to distribute it. So I walked through this series of exercises to build out the canvas. Mm. And you know, I can't share, you know, sort of diagram it for you, but I think what might be really helpful is to walk through basically the building blocks mm-hmm. of my business. And then you can kind of see in practical terms how you can take, you know, this core idea that you have and then turn it into an actual business.
Yeah, sounds great. Let's dive in. Yeah, absolutely. And it really is going to model it for people, and then they can apply that to their own idea or own business now too. So, yeah, absolutely. Let's dive in.
Right. So you know, in the essence of it is, nine building blocks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way it's structured is, you know, we can put links for show notes.
Absolutely.
You should be able to fit this on one piece of paper mm-hmm. and talk through the business model with, you know, your partners, your, you know, family, friends, basically anybody that you want to put this in front of to help validate your idea. Mm-hmm. You know, even before you've actually built anything. You know, so it's like, all right, I have this idea. Can I build a business around this? Well, this is the tool that you would use to help get some sense of whether or not this idea that you have actually has legs. So the first part of it is identifying your customer segments. Mm-hmm. You know, who are you building this for? Who's paying for this thing? You know, who is going to get value out of the thing you're building? So for me, you know, I'm really passionate about helping, you know, people who are, well, actually people like yourself who mm-hmm. are developing content-based products and want to get them in front of a pretty broad audience. So, you know, I started thinking, all right, who are my potential target customers? I thought about bloggers, website owners, ebook authors, podcasters. And then I started to think a little bit bigger. I thought, all right, well, you know, I could also offer this tool to social media agencies that they could then, you know, use it to help develop their social media channels for their customers. Sales teams could be interested in this. And I kind of laid all of these out. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, all right, well, you know, social media agencies, that feels like a completely different customer segment than a podcaster because they're like they have more than one client. Right. And sales teams, they feel a little different too. So I kept them, you know, separately. So I basically created three groups, you know, the sort of the content creator, that's the, you know, ebook author, podcaster, that kind of thing. And then social media agencies and sales teams. And that, you know, I went through, you know, just kind of thinking about who it is that I want to sell to. You know, and then from there, I started thinking about the value proposition. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the core value that I'm delivering to my customers? You know, what kind of customer needs am I satisfying? And I came up with this idea, and this word's terrible, but I'm going to just give you the raw deal here. Mm-hmm. My value proposition as I wrote it, was to augment your content marketing strategy via shared content mm-hmm. and generate leads from the content that you find and share. Yeah. And you know, looking back, augment's terrible, right? But again, this is just, I'm giving you like my internal documentation mm-hmm. here. But so the idea is, you know, you want to think about, you know, what it is that you're offering that's going to deliver value. And you can, you know, there's a whole series of questions you can ask yourself to help get into that mindset. You know, mm-hmm. you know, what does it feel like to use your product? What does your product do? How does it work? What are the rational drivers for making a purchase? If this is a product that maybe already exists in the market, what are people doing? What's your customer segments doing already to, mm-hmm. to serve this, you know, serve this need? So basically the idea is that you drill into your value proposition by asking yourself a series of questions as they relate to your customer segment. And what's important is, you know, when we have a customer segment, you know, I was saying I have more than one, you want to go through that exercise for each customer segment because you might actually have a different value proposition for one Absolutely. Customer segment versus the other. You know, and the idea is when this is all done, you have this map that you can kind of then trace through and decide, all right, this, I want to follow this path instead of this path. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then from there, once you identify your value proposition, you want to think about how your company is going to communicate with and reach the customer segment in order to deliver the value proposition. So you want to think about your channels. So for me, my channels are, website. I have this product on a website. Mm-hmm. I can do webinars. I can do direct outreach, although that doesn't really scale. When customers, or prospects come to my website, I offer chat support. That's mm-hmm. a channel that I can reach them. Podcasting, you know, being on a podcast like this is a potential channel to reach my audience. So when you're building out your business model, you want to think through, knowing who your customer segment is, how do they want to be reached? Which channels work best? How much do these channels cost? So you want to think through, you know, those kind of questions, to build out your channels. And then moving on from there, you want to think about your customer relationships. Mm-hmm. So, and what that means is, you know, what kind of relationship does your segment, your customer segment, expect you to establish? So if we were building out a business model canvas for our car dealership, you know, that's a very high touch business. Mm. Although there are business models that have disrupted that. but like, you know, it's a high touch business. So, you know, your customer relationship might be more of a, you know, high touch, hands-on concierge type service. For my business, the customer relationship is, it's self-service. Mm-hmm. It's a SaaS product. They can go and they can sign up. But then there is an aspect of personal assistance. So if customers have concerns, they can, you know, talk to us via chat or email, and then we can kind of walk them through that process. So as you're thinking about your business, you know, think about how you want to best reach your customers and, you know, through the channels, what kind of relationship do you want to have with your customers?
Yeah, makes sense. It's good stuff. I'm writing notes, by the way. If you see me looking down, I'm writing down notes.
Oh, awesome. Great. So the next, you know, the next phase of building out your business model is kind of where the rubber hits the road. You want to start thinking about revenue. You know, you've identified your customer segment. You've identified the value you want to offer them, and you've figured out how you're going to reach them. Now you got to figure out how you're going to make money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is going to be different. This is even going to be different depending on your customer segments that you choose. So, you know, if you've identified a couple different customer segments, try to think about, all right, how, you know, is there a better cost benefit if I sell to one customer segment versus another? So, you know, so for my business, you know, I'm a software as a service. So for me, it's subscription fees and usage fees. Mm-hmm. So you pay a base monthly subscription, and potentially, you know, depending on how much you use the service, there's going to be a usage fee. But the other thing that I'm considering is, you know, if I'm looking at social media agencies as a customer segment, you know, I might have a per seat revenue stream.
Yeah.
You know, so like the idea is just to kind of get all these things out on paper so you can start talking through the, you know, talking through the concept. Right now, it's not something I'm planning on doing, but it's by putting it out there, you know, it gives you, you know, kind of frames everything so you can.
It's a possibility that you could down the track flesh out more and really put some thought into. But now, as you said, it's creating this framework.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So then the next piece, there's only a few left, your key resources. So, you know, every business needs, you know, there's some set of resources that you need to make the business work. So, you know, in your business, you're probably doing a lot of the content creation, I would imagine, correct?
Yes. Very much so. Right. I can't hire anyone to stand in and interview on my behalf.
Right, exactly. But you might have a, you know, in order to get your podcast out, you know, out the door, you might have support. Some VAs doing some work behind
For
the scenes.
Sure.
So if you know, your key resources basically are the things that you need in order to make your model work. Mm-hmm. They're not every single person that's going to do every single job. It's the things that if these things aren't there, your business model won't work. Mm-hmm. So you might say for you, your VAs are important, but if you didn't have your VAs, I imagine when you started, you were doing all the work, right? Yeah. Right. So like, you know, you might not need to put them as a key resource. So it really is business dependent. Mm-hmm. For my business, you know, my key resources are business development. You know, I have to establish relationships, marketing, because right now, you know, it's a new product. Nobody knows about the business. And these are kind of obvious. Engineering, I got to build it. And product development, I got to make sure that I'm building the right feature set.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, you know, that's not going to be the same for every business.
Mm. Yeah. What you just shared, giving insights on what I did towards the end of last year, around the key resources, I recognized, and actually it flows on from what I've been sharing on a couple of other shows from the Women in Leadership. I recognized, I did a bit of a foresight, and I thought if I continue to go the way that I'm wanting my direction of my business to go and following this particular income model, I'm going to be so busy. It's not going to allow me time for my creativity. I love creativity, writing, that kind of thing, you know, and being able to get in the zone. So what I recognize is, okay, what do I need to do? I need to release some of my work. So I focus just on three key things that I do: my writing, because I love writing, my podcasts, and then actually working with clients around training, coaching, helping them establish their podcasts and things like that. Those three things. Everything else gets outsourced. And then I already have my VAs, and then I realized I need an online business manager. At that time, I didn't know that there was that I needed that, but I recalled, you know, going back on in interviews that I've done, and I thought I need more than just a VA. Not that, you know, VAs, but it needed technical skill. She or he needed technical skill, and I was able to find someone going through exactly what you've said, because you follow the crumbs, if you will, around what do I need. And so rather than trial and error, and I was able to do that, and now I've got that set up so I can validate this is such an important process.
Yeah. And actually, you hit on a really good point. So what you were talking about the desire to focus on, you know, the creative aspects of your life, you know, that really, I feel like just hearing you say that, That to me sounds like that's really speaking to your, you know, your mission, you know, why you're doing the things you're doing. And, you know, everything that we're talking about related to your business model, you know, should be anchored to your company's North Star, right? Your mission, why you exist, you know, your vision, what's the big idea? Where do you want to be? And if, you know, for you, if part of that is to allow you time to focus on, you know, the creative side of your business, then that's going to help shape your business model, because that's always going to be at the back of your, well, it should be at the forefront, right? Yes. You should always be thinking about building things that align with, you know, with your vision and your mission.
Very important.
Yeah. I mean, it's important if you're a solopreneur to go through that exercise. And it's important if you're, you know, Fortune 500 company.
Yeah.
They all have a, you know, have a North Star.
Yeah.
The successful ones anyway.
Yeah, they do. So I'm assuming that key resources, if I've got the number incorrectly, is number six on the list.
Yep. We got three more.
Fantastic. So what's next, number seven?
Yeah. So the next one. So the next one is your key activities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these are the things that are the most important activities you take under that are required by your value proposition. Mm-hmm. If you don't do these things, you don't have a business model. So for me, you know, right now the key activities are channel development, you know, getting the word out, getting traffic and things like that, and feature development. Mm-hmm. If I don't do those two things, because, you know, I have a very, you know, I'm taking the lean approach to building the product out. And, you know, I have a very core set of features and I have to be very systematic when I add new features. So those two are my key activities. So when you're thinking about your key activities, you know, ask yourself what key activities does my value proposition require? You know, what activities are important to my distribution channels, you know, customer relationships, revenue streams, things like that. You know, again, the point of this is not to identify every single thing that your business does, but just the most important things that if these things didn't exist, you wouldn't have a business.
No. Okay. Yeah. So what's number eight? This is great stuff here, Joe.
Number eight, your key partnerships. So who are your key partners and suppliers? And what are the motivations for that partnership? Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, since channel development is a key activity, I need to be thinking about who are the potential people I can partner with in order to help develop channels. So my key partners right now are potential affiliates and potential joint venture partners. You know, there's others that I can develop over time, but, like, you know, 1.0 of my business model, that's where I need to be focusing.
Yes.
And then finally, the last piece is the cost structure. You know, because, you know, all businesses incur costs, and in order to operate your business, you got to identify what the most important ones are. So for me, it's human capital. You know, basically, if I need to pay engineers to build stuff, it's advertising. If I want to, you know, grow at a more accelerated rate, I might want to pay for advertising, and IT costs, you know, the cost of actually running all of my infrastructure.
Yeah. I think this is brilliant. And I think, you know, when you look at all of these nine building blocks, they really are building blocks. They really are pillars. Going through this, and I would imagine you would have used this exact nine building blocks for other ideas, other products that you've developed. And of course, you're using it with your current pursuit and, you know, business product. Is there one? They're all important. I recognize that for sure. But would you say that there's one or more that really are pivotal, they're critical, and if you haven't spent time and energy on this, it's going to undermine all of the others? Or not? They're all
absolutely
the same. Yeah?
No. I think the most critical ones, I believe, are identifying what you're selling and who you're selling it to, your customer segment and your value proposition.
Okay, yep. Which is why they're right up the top, one and two. If you don't answer those, there's no point going down. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. You know, if you haven't really dug into that, that's where I think you're going to spend most of the time.
Yeah. And you know why I'm glad I asked that question is because if I think of recall conversations with a lot of people that I've met at networking events and at businesses who I know are struggling, I'm sure they cannot confidently say that they've gone through these two processes, because so many people are going to launch an idea and I'm going to get it out there to everyone. And because who is it suitable for? Well, anyone who can breathe, or anyone that, you know, they're not niching. And I think that is such a critical aspect. And as you've just identified, if you don't have these two key building blocks, there's no point in building everything else out, you know.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, when you think about, you know, when you're thinking about a new product idea, you know, you've never gone through this exercise as we've just laid it out, but where do you start? Do you start with, okay, I know who my customers are, or I have this idea, you know, that'd be good to hear.
Yeah. Well, for me, I tend to now, if I look back, I mean, I've been in business for some time, you know, I had a couple of decades in the career industry, and I would develop a product and think, oh, I'll give you an example. A course that I had about women returning to the workforce. So what I did was I created a whole workshop because there was funding from the government. But what we didn't realize was that we could not sell that directly to the clients. We had to go through RTOs, which is registered training authorities. And there were barriers to them because, you know, a whole lot of, you know, the political kind of stuff. And so we recognized that there was a huge need, but for us, if we had gone through the through all of these steps, we would have realized that we needed some key partnerships and we needed to develop those first. Because right. And that takes time. And because we were starting from scratch, we would have then seen, okay, we need to focus on that first because we could develop the product, and it's still sitting there. It's like a biz in the box. I can see how absolutely crucial and valuable. But then having said that, we would have gone out and launched that and used it with our clients to get some feedback. Is this helpful for you? How can we change it? What can we add? All those kind of things. But I never really got to that point of being able to do that. So that's kind of a product which is sitting on the shelf and that hadn't really been launched, sadly.
Right.
Yeah. So, Joe, I'm just looking at the time. I mean, this has just been incredibly valuable. I know we've only scratched the surface for sure, but these are models, and we've heard, I'm sure, through listening to various podcasts and business, you know, strategists, the lean approach, the lean principles, and the things that you're speaking about today, I think is really valuable, particularly because we are living in such an evolving, a disruptive industry. I mean, there's new products and services coming to the market, and I think, you know, it really behooves us, or it's so important for us to go through these principles. Share a little bit about Sherry, particularly for listeners and viewers today, and how can they access the tool? How can they get in contact with you before we finish up the show?
Sure. I feel like I've laid it bare by giving you the business model. But Sherry is a tool I originally built for myself because I like to, you know, kind of scratch an itch.
Yeah.
And the core concept of Sherry is that in order to become be seen as a subject matter expert, I share a lot of content on social media. You know, I find interesting articles about product management and product strategy, I would just share it on social media. But at the same time, I was trying to drive traffic back to my own website because I was doing a course on product strategy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, if I could figure out a way to leverage all this content that I'm sharing to drive traffic back to my website, you know, I could, you know, give the people that I'm sharing the benefit of them getting their content out there. And I would get residual benefit because, you know, they would, you know, potentially come back to my website as well.
Yes.
So that was sort of the seed of Sherry. So what Sherry will do is, suppose you want to promote this version, you know, this latest episode of your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine you share other people's content on social media.
Yes.
Right. So if you share other people's content on social media, rather than just, you know, like retweet something, if we use Twitter as an example,
mm-hmm.
you would use you could use a Chrome extension, the Sherry Chrome extension, to create a Sherry link, which is similar to a Bitly link.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sherry link, what it'll do is it'll create a distraction-free version of the article or the content that you want to share, and then allow you to put your call to action on the top of it.
Oh.
So your call to action could be, come check out the latest episode of my podcast,
mm-hmm.
with a button that would take them to the podcast download page, plus have the content attributed back to the original author,
creator, yeah,
of the stuff that you've shared. So the author gets the benefit of their content being spread among your social media following,
mm-hmm.
and then you get the benefit of potentially driving traffic back to your website.
Yeah, fantastic. And so how can people find out more about it? What's the link for anyone to go visit?
If you want to find out more about it, go to www.getsherry.com. And you can sign up for a 30-day free trial and check it out.
Yeah, fantastic. And by the way, Joe, what you've shared today, I think, is absolutely valuable. I've taken lots of notes here on my pad, which I tend to do. And then I realize, because I always take notes, it's my way that I tap into the expertise of other people. I'm always learning and growing. I said last year, I probably don't really have to go to many professional development events, only the ones that I can really seek and can help, because I'm constantly learning, you know, and evolving. And then I realized, oh, people are going to see me leaning down all the time. What am I doing? I'm actually taking notes, because this has just been valuable. So it really has. So what we're going to do is we'll put that link for Joe on our show notes, and go and click there. I'll share the notes with you too, the URL, because for those of you who are listening to the audio version of the podcast, you may not realize, I'm about to share, that we're actually streaming this live. We're doing a video version as well, and we will embed the video version in the show notes, so you can get to see Joe speak as he's sharing his content. So ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/AES219, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/AES219. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It was great meeting you.
You've been listening to the Ambitious Entrepreneur Show, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com, changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.